I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, sickos. This is Robert.
All right, Robert, here we go. All right. Well, let's run down Port O'Connor way and let's get fired off with Captain Lynn Smith, see how he's doing this morning. Hey, Lynn, how's it going, man?
Oh, good, man. This cool weather sure feels good, doesn't it?
Isn't it nice?
Man, get your neck swelling. I guarantee you that.
Boy, I'm ready.
I am too, man.
Getting a little twitchy.
Now, I'm telling you, trigger finger's starting to swell a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, though, you're talking about that safety, though. We got to be safety-minded in those deer stands, though. I guarantee
you
that.
Yes, you do. Yes, sir.
You know, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've been sitting there with a hunter, and, you know, they shoot a deer, and they get excited, and the deer runs off and drops, and, you know, you sit there a while, and you say, all right, let's go check him, and before you get out of the stand, you go, is your gun unloaded? And I can't tell you how many times the guy said, yeah, it's unloaded. I go, open that bolt.
Yeah.
And open it up, and it'd be loaded. Yep. Open it up, and it'd be loaded. I go, yeah. You know, in the heat of the moment, they just don't realize what they're doing, you know. They reload it real quick, and then don't realize that gun's loaded.
Yeah, they'll bolt that empty brass out and ram one in right behind it and forget they did it.
That's right. Exactly. So you gotta check them. You know, you really do. And I know I told you this before, but way back there, when I first started to shoot skeet, I remember I was shooting over on old South Main, and old Charlie Jones had that Houston trapping skeet on South Main. And there was some old guys over there that shot trap, and they had a deer lease out in Uvalde, I think it was. And they had gone to the deer stands. They dropped this one guy off. I can still remember him like it was today. And they dropped him off at a stand. It was one of the stands that had a straight up ladder.
Ooh.
And they dropped him off, and it was a real cold day. He had a frost on the ground, and they took off, and he climbed up that straight ladder, and one foot slipped through that ladder.
Oh God!
Had ice on that ladder, and his foot slipped through the ladder, and it broke his leg. He fell and broke his leg, compound fracture, hanging and from that ladder.
Oh,
with
my
a compound
goodness.
Fracture, and he hung there till they came to pick him up after 9 o'clock. And it's a wonder he didn't die, you know, really.
That's why when you drop somebody off, we always just let them go ahead and climb up and then hand them their rifle or their, you know, their, backpack and
absolutely
make sure they're in the blind with the door shut and don't get out till we come to pick you up.
Exactly. I do not leave them until they're in the blind.
That's the best way to go. Can you imagine hanging there with a compound fracture for that long?
Oh, I mean, it was a miracle he wasn't dead.
It
this
is.
Man was close to 80 years old.
My goodness.
Yeah. Every time I go to a stand to take a hunter, I think about that man. I really do.
Hey, I won't even climb up in a stand that has one of those straight-up ladders. You know, I want it tilted a little bit. That way, when I get up to the top and have to unlatch the door, you know, you can kind of put your weight forward when you pull your hands off the ladder to do stuff. I mean, that straight up and down ladder stuff, 20 feet up in there, that's just asking for it.
It is. It's scary. Yeah, it's dangerous. There's no doubt about it.
Might as well be climbing up in a tree stand.
I know it. I know it. I climbed out of a tripod one afternoon. I'll never forget. It was getting pretty dark, and I climbed out of this tripod, and just as my feet hit the ground, I turned around. There was a skunk probably 20 feet from me, had his tail up, and I went, oh, my God. But he didn't spray me. But, boy, I mean, the pucker factor set in, I'll guarantee you.
I bet it did.
Oh, boy, he was walking away, but he had that tail up.
People don't realize what a wall of knockdown skunk spray is. I remember when my dog got sprayed a few years back. I went out that morning, it was still dark, and went out on the patio, and she just came on alert as soon as we walked out. And when I looked out in the yard and I saw that skunk by that pecan tree, I yelled no as loud as I could. That dog broke, and the tail went up, and the skunk was running, and she got a full mouthful and head full, and it knocked me down up on the patio. And I was 30 yards away from it. That vapor was just, we were in bad shape. I can't believe that dog lived.
Oh, man.
Foaming at the mouth. Eyes were, she got a full load of it. There was nothing I could do for her.
Yeah. I was going to say, were you the one foaming at the mouth?
Oh, it had me coughing, and I couldn't even breathe.
Oh, it's terrible. It is terrible.
I went in the house, and my wife is way back in the bathroom on the other end of the house, and she goes, my God, what's that smell? I could hear it, and I said, oh, it's got to be me then. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
Absolute worst.
I know it. I know it. Well, I tell you what, it looks like it's going to be a good year for deer. I've already seen some good pictures. And a friend of mine's young daughter sure got a nice buck already. And so I've seen some good deer come in.
You know? I have, too. Did you see, I think it was on Facebook, a guy put his deer camera, a photo sequence of him on Facebook. And this deer was under this feeder, and he got his horns hung in a cage underneath the feeder and got hung up in there, and he turned the feeder over on him, and he's trying to break free of it. Well, the turned-over feeder, there's this huge bobcat sitting up on top of it guarding that deer because he's going to
really
eat. And then shows another photo with the big bobcat on the feeder and two coyotes on the ground coming up to the deer. And then when you go through the entire sequence, you can see how it all laid out. The bobcat ran the two coyotes off, and then a big giant hog, probably a 300-pound hog, shows up, and everybody's gone, and the hog's eating the deer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That was cool. That just goes to show you the hog, they're on top of that food chain, buddy. They rule the roost when it comes to something like that. Bobcat or coyotes aren't going to mess with a big feral hog like that.
No. Well, I tell you what, a friend of mine sitting in the stand there, George West, on that ranch I got on, and, boy, he heard this big commotion behind the stand, and he told the hunter he was hunting with, he said, man, I got to check this out. He got out of the stand and walked back there in the brush, and there were, like, four coyotes had a spike buck cornered, man. They had him cornered, and they were fixing to get on him, boy. And he ran them off. But those coyotes, man, they were getting ready to get on that spike. They had him cornered.
Yeah, they big canine wolf instinct in them, and they know that safety in numbers, and they can do more damage in numbers, and they'll get in packs, and they'll take deer out, man.
Oh, you
they
bet.
Get hungry, they're going to do it.
You bet. Well, those, they'll do it for sure. And, you know, the mountain lions, mountain lions, we'd find at least one deer a year, usually, that a mountain lion had attacked. And once they attack them, you know, they'll go to water. You know, if they don't kill the deer and they wound them, the deer will go to water.
Wonder why that is. And, you know, even wounded deer by rifle shots, you always mm-hmm. find them at water holes.
I think they ease the pain, I think. I think that's what
really?
It is. Yeah, I think it eases the pain. And then they die in the pond. You know, we usually
right.
we'll find one or two deer dead in the ponds. And we found one dead in this one pond. It was 15 points. And he'd been attacked by a mountain lion. And there wasn't any doubt about it. But anytime we have a good deer that has been wounded and we lose him, or we're tracking him and he makes a circle, big circle, you know, and we lose him, we'll just wait, you know, about a day or so. And then we look for a pond. We look at a pond that's close by, see if we can find
yeah.
him. Nine times out of 10, he'll be in that water, you know.
Amazing.
You know, biologist said mountain lion, nine times out of 10, they'll attack a buck before they will a doe, because a buck will stand a fight when a doe will run, you know.
Right.
So they're gonna go after a buck before they will a doe. Yeah.
You know that mountain lion story you told me, you know, about you and that customer
oh,
that morning walking the blind, that'll make your hair raise up. But
oh,
I was watching a video, a guy was in a tree stand bow hunting and this mountain lion's real close by. He couldn't get him on video, but you could hear the screaming. You
mm-hmm.
talk about raise hair on your neck. There's
oh,
no
it does.
I'm getting out of that tree.
It still raises the hair on the back of my neck thinking about that morning with me. I guarantee you, when I got out of that truck and I shut the door real easy and he screamed, I leaned up against the truck. You
I
know?
Bet.
I mean, it just makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. And the next time he screamed, he was closer. He was coming to me. You know, he was. He was coming at me.
Stalk
get
my
your
cat.
Attention.
A big
mm-hmm.
cat.
Yeah. And when I got close to that deer stand, I had my pistol out, and I was easing to that deer stand, and that customer was standing up on that platform. He said, what in the world is that? And I said, that's a mountain lion. And he's stalking me, and he's not happy with me. He pointed at that guy. I mean, that customer jumped in that deer stand. That was funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in that stand. He said, have you ever had that happen? I said, never.
Never.
Never have I had one come after me. Uh-uh. No, that wasn't funny at all. And, boy, I mean, that was hair-raising. It really was.
Boy, there was a big one down at Blaine's last year. Keeler, this young man that hunts down there with us every Christmas, him and his dad come down, and he's a big boy. Well, he was up in the stand, and he had one walk out, and he said it stretched from one side of the Sendera to the other.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
Before he could get his gun out the window, it you know, it walked off. They don't stick around long.
And no, they don't.
Then Blaine yeah. had a woman and a little girl that just wanted to sit in a stand and watch animals. And they saw two of them just one stand over from where Keeler was hunting. And one of them was real huge. It was a real big one. So it's, you know, that'd be the ultimate trophy for me to take one of those.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, nine times out of ten, I don't take a rifle with me, you know, and a hunter. And I had a real good hunter with me one day, and I didn't have a rifle with me. And I looked to my left up a Sendera, and there was a cat coming down the edge of the Sendera. And I said, look at that
oh,
cat.
Man.
I thought it was a big bobcat.
Yeah.
And I said, look at that cat. And he was coming toward us. And then he turned to come across the Sendera, and you could see that tail. And I said, oh, my goodness, it's a mountain lion. And I was reaching for his rifle because
right.
you don't have but just a few seconds, you know.
No,
and,
you don't have much time at all on them.
No, and but the cat just kind of walked across real quick, you know. But he was
right.
coming down the Sendera toward us, so I thought, well, maybe he'll come on down, you know. So we were ready, but we stayed about another hour and a half, 2 hours waiting on him, but he never did show back up.
Yeah, they
but,
usually don't
yeah,
backtrack
you're right.
too much. He was hunting.
Yeah, he was hunting.
Looking
but,
for some food.
That would be the ultimate trophy.
Oh, it
we
would,
had a guy.
I guarantee you. Let me get this break in, Lynn, right quick. Hold that thought. Right. I'll come right back at you. Well, you know, folks, Texan Roofing, they're the people I trust. Texan Roofing covers Houston and surrounding areas, and Texan Roofing has free estimates on any roof leak repair or replacement. Texan Roofing does residential and commercial roofing, plus they have the Better Business Bureau A-plus rating with no complaints ever, and they're certified as a GAF Master Elite Shingle Applicator, so they can offer their customers the best material warranties available and, most importantly, a 25-year leak-free warranty. Along with their honest roof inspections, they treat their customers like family. With A-plus installers and A-plus management, these are reasons to call Texan Roofing at 281-391-9600. That's 281-391-9600 or texanroofing.com. That's Texan Roofing. Experience you can trust. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 518 here in the Bayou City on this fun Sunday. All right, let's go back and talk some more with Captain Lynn Smith. All right, Lynn, we're back.
Yeah, we had a guy from California, a customer that killed a pretty nice deer one day, and the next day he wanted to kill a pig, so we put him in a stand that had a lot of pigs, and so we put him in there by himself because he just wanted to kill a pig, and mm-hmm. And I went to pick him up about 9:30 or so, and said, "Well, what'd you see?" He said, "Well, I didn't see any pigs. Had a big mountain lion came about 40 yards away and sat down right in the middle of the sendera." I said, "Why you shoot him?" He said, "Well, can't shoot him in California. It's against the law." I said, "Well, man, this is Texas. They're a predator. You can shoot him in Texas." He said, "Well, you can't out in California. Can't
same
do it."
Thing happened to Blaine. He had those guys that come from California every year, and one guy had one lay down in the sendera right in front of him, and he never took the shot because it was a huge one.
Mm-hmm. This guy said it was a big one. Just sat down, mm-hmm. kind of cleaned himself, licked himself, and just sat there. Yeah. Mm. You and I'd die for that shot, wouldn't we?
I'm telling you. I'd just soon have that as a book deer. Really would.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good grief. Mm. You better know it. That is the ultimate trophy right there.
You know, Texas has, people don't realize the animals and things we have in this state, that they're not even aware of what's out there. You know, I always mm-hmm. wonder about, you know, all the, you know, with the activity coming across the border through that brush country. I mean, just the foliage alone, you know, with all the cactus and thorns and everything else. But this year, the grass burrs are unbelievable, the cucklebirs. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just, can you imagine those people making that journey through that brush country like that? And they don't have chaps, and they don't have this or that, you know, to protect them. It's got to be a nightmare.
Oh, you know it is. You know it is. Well, years ago, I was probably in my early teens, and I was hunting with my dad up in East Texas, and I'll never forget this. We were hunting on, National Forest, and it was raining, and it was cold, and I was supposed to meet him on this logging road, and at a certain time, so I'm standing there in a raincoat, and it's raining and nasty and cold, and had my rifle on my shoulder, and I'm just sitting there waiting on him, boy, and it was raining. And something just told me, you know, just kind of look to your left. And I turned and looked to my left, and it was raining pretty hard. And a black panther ran across the road, ran across that logging road to my left. And I had never seen one, but I definitely saw that one. And, I mean, he was a big old black panther, big old long tail on him and everything. But they're up there in East Texas, I'll guarantee you. And when I was in the Boy Scouts, we'd camp up there at Camp Bill Stark, and you could hear them every once in a while back in those piney woods.
Right.
Yep, you'd hear them.
You know, I always wondered, you know, when you're on I-10 going to San Antonio, you go over that, you know, a lot of things were named by Indians back in the day, and I wonder about that creek. It's called Woman Hollering Creek. Have you seen that one when you're going down 10?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Woman Hollering Creek. because, you know, those cats, when they're screaming in the woods, it sounds like a woman screaming or hollering.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if that's how it got its name. You always think about that, some kind of myth. Maybe there's a lot of cats in that area or something.
Probably.
And the Indian named that back in the day.
I know one thing. I know one thing. When that one screamed at me that night, it made my hair stand straight up.
Yeah. Hey, there's no doubt what it is when you hear it. No doubt about
it.
Oh,
no doubt. No doubt. No.
What my mom used to call it, blood-curdling scream.
Yes, it is. Especially when you're by yourself and one's that close to you. It gets your attention, believe me. Yeah. And then he screams at you again. He's closer. Oh, yeah. It gets your attention.
I got some friends. They've got a place in the Cthulhu area, and one of them shot a big cat one night while they were deer hunting and wounded it. So they all get back to the camp talking about it, and, you know, naturally the beer and the whiskey start flowing. Well, they all decide to get a big group together and go out there in the dark and hunt it down.
Oh.
Crawling through that brush, and one of the guys emptied his entire 9mm pistol in it and finally got it to die. I got to thinking, you know, a big-time predator like a mountain lion, and you guys are out there crawling through brush, looking for it, tracking it, tracking the blood trail, when that thing might be tracking you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think I'd wait till the next day, and hopefully it'd bleed out.
I had a customer shot a big bobcat, and this bobcat flipped up in the air, did a complete flip in the air, hit the ground and ran in the brush. I said, oh, no. Now I got to track a big bobcat.
Oh, gosh.
So we get out of the stand, and we walk over there, and I'm tracking this blood trail. And I look back in the brush, and there he is laying there. And that customer, he was young. He said, is he dead? I went, well, I sure hope he is, because when I poke him with a stick, he's going to be all over me if he is.
Yeah.
You know? And he was a big male, boy, big male bobcat. Boy, I thought, that's all I need is to have this cat jump up and get all over me.
Oof, you know, man. I had a guy send me some photos, I don't know, a year or two ago. It was in the winter, and he hunted East Texas. And I think he tree hunted, you know, tree stand, that kind of hunting. And he killed a buck. And he had gotten down out of the stand and was going to drag this buck out of there. And he's dragging the buck, and he's got a big, huge bobcat stalking him, wanting that deer. I mean, that bobcat wants that. And when he had to shoot the bobcat because it was hissing at him. I mean, it wanted that deer. It was going to fight him for that deer. So he shot the bobcat, and he laid it next to the deer, and I could not believe how big that bobcat was. It's the biggest one I've ever seen.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
I tell you
how
what.
About that? Can't even pull your deer out of the woods and got a bobcat wanting to fight you for him.
Competing you for it.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. I had a customer shot a buck right at dark. I mean, it was getting really dark when he shot this deer, and there were a lot of deer around, and they scattered. And I said, well, I got to look for blood. And we got out of these tripods. We walked over, and I found blood. And I tracked that deer for about 35 or 40 yards and lost the trail. So I called the ranch manager, and I said, look, we got to get the dog on this deer because this is a good buck. You know, he's a 10, and he's a big, wide, heavy 10. And so he called the dog man. Well, we got out there about 10 o'clock at night, and we get the dog on this trail. And we're standing around this feed pen, and we can hear the dog running this deer.
Right.
Well, they run in a circle. You know, they'll run in a circle.
They always do.
And yep, they always do. And we can hear this dog running this deer. And we're standing there. It's dark, real dark. And we can hear the dog running. I said, I looked at the ranch manager, and I said, he's coming back. He's coming back. We said, yeah. He's getting closer and closer. And I said, he's getting real close. He said, yeah, he is. And boy, we stepped over that feed pen, and we got underneath that protein feeder. And we were standing underneath that protein feeder. And that buck came by us. I'll guarantee you he was probably, I want to say 20 yards at the most, 10 to 20 yards from us when he ran by in the dark. And I mean, you talk about the pucker factor.
I guarantee
this puck
you.
Had 12 or 13 inch tines, and he came by us like a flash, and that dog was right on his tail, you know, chasing him when he came by us. And I mean, if that protein feeder would have had a ladder, I'd have been on top of that protein feeder.
I promise you.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people
but anyway,
been maimed and killed by, you know, deer like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, did y'all get the deer?
Yeah, we got him. When they finally, the dog cornered him, that deer had that dog cornered and was trying to gore him. And
wow.
the guy that owned the dog got up there and shot the deer. But, yeah, that dog had him cornered, and that deer was trying to gore him. And about 2 weeks prior to that, the guy lost his best dog. A deer drove a 14-inch tine through his best dog. He said that dog was his best dog, and boy, just killed him. His dog was about 10 years old. But he said that dog would not let up on a deer. He would he'd track him down and never let up.
I killed a deer one time that had been in a fight, and he had a big tine had gone through his neck like that from another deer goring him. That's that's bad news, man. Them horns with the force
behind them,
the strength of a deer's neck and the way they can put it on.
Oh,
you,
yeah.
Bud.
We have several that we've killed that have had gored wounds in their rumps, you know, and
right
and around
chest
the neck,
area,
like you
neck
say,
neck and chest, yeah,
yeah, yeah,
scarred up.
But a lot of them have it in their rump. Yeah,
you see them a lot of times with split ears too. You know, their ears are all split up.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Nature.
Yeah, they have some vicious fights. Boy, I've seen some vicious fights out there.
Boy, I've seen some pretty good buck fights over the years, and buddy, when they decide to get it on, and that,
oh yeah,
there ain't no monkeying around, buddy. They get with it. It's
no,
it's on. It is on.
Yeah, I mean,
dust flying and all the grunting and growling and horns whacking,
man.
And boy, I'm telling you, it's
a sight
to see.
And there'll be other bucks come run out of the brush and run.
Oh,
out
they'll come
to
for miles to watch this fight. I mean, it's kind of like,
yeah,
you know, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, they get ready to go after it. We're all going to watch.
That's right. That's right.
They're coming. Build it. They will come.
Oh.
Let me knock this break
out.
Come back.
They run out there
again.
And they got the hair standing straight up on the back of their neck.
Oh, they all come in all ruffled up, man. They're
oh,
all
they
hackled
do,
up.
Man. Yeah. I love rattling them up, too, man. That's a real kick, too. I enjoy doing that.
Oh, yeah. That's. Let's talk about some of that when I come back from the break.
Okay.
All right. I'll be right back with you. Well, you know, the Belleville Meat Market, there's no better place to take your wild game for processing than the Belleville Meat Market. No better place to shop for quality cuts of grade A beef, pork, and chicken. The Belleville Meat Market is located right in downtown Belleville. They're a short drive from Sealy on I-10 or Hempstead on 290. Just go downtown, look for the big white sign. Their processing facility and meat market are right next door to one another. Owned and operated by the Poffenberger family for 40 years. And, you know, we're right in the middle of bow season right now, and rifle season's right around the corner. And whether you're killing exotic animals or white-tailed deer, feral hogs, take it all to the Belleville Meat Market. Their processing is impeccable. 28 great flavors of pecan smoked sausage to choose from. Their award-winning summer sausage, jerky, dry sticks, burger, pan sausage, you name it, even tamales. They do a fantastic job. 3-lane drop-off system makes it convenient dropping off your game and picking it up. Check them out at BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call them at 979-865-5782. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. Captain Mickey will tell you where to go and what to throw.
What are you coon hunting again?
Yes, sir.
Y'all ain't ever going to run out of coons up there, man, no matter how many you kill.
I know. I keep feeding them about 5 tons of corn a year. I don't know why in the heck they keep showing up. But, you know, that's the thing. You know, them rascals, they get pretty dang wild out here and taking over, so you got to clean the herd every once in a while.
Well, I bet they're fat rascals, corn-fed.
You ain't kidding. These tongue guns are. They are just...
Get out of here, you furry bastard.
Johnny B.
he slipped that one in on us, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Turkey.
Have you ever gotten out one of those little Fox Pro calls and put the crow call on?
Put the fighting crows on there. There won't be a crow. You won't see one within miles, and in 5 minutes, you got crows coming in.
Everywhere. I mean, they come flocking in. You put that
Johnny's to it.
Goodness, I tell you what, that's something else on this thing. That is hilarious. I sit around the house and I'll do that every once in a while. I'll put that thing in the yard. And like you say, there won't be a crow around. And you've got that thing on, and here they come. I mean, and they're diving and bombing and want to know what's going on and who's fighting.
They're coming in there ready to fight, man. Watch the fight.
I did. It is comical as it can be.
Boy, that's some cheap redneck entertainment right there.
It is, isn't it?
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 537 here in the Bayou City. Let's go back and talk some more with Captain Lynn Smith. All right, Lynn, where were we?
we were fixing to talk about the rut and rattling them up.
Rattling them up. That's what it was.
Boy, I'll tell you, man. I really enjoyed that. You know, you can mess with them. There was one little area on the ranch that we had a draw coming through there, and there was an old fence line that ran through there. It was all rusted up fence line, and I had a customer one time, and we eased in there real quiet one morning, sat down against some old mesquites and leaned up against these mesquite trees, and it got daylight and was sitting there. And I told this guy, I said, now look, I said, if a buck comes in, you have to make a decision whether or not you want him, because you don't have a whole lot of time. So just make your mind up, because all size of bucks come in, you know. So anyway, we're sitting there, we're kind of whispering and everything. Anyway, I started rattling, and I mean, no sooner did I start rattling, I heard a buck jump that fence. You know, you heard him hit the ground, boy. And you couldn't see him, but you heard him jump the fence. And boy, all, you know, the hair on the back of your neck stands up, because, you know, you're thinking monster, you know. Well, anyway, this about a 3-year-old buck appears through the brush, and he comes out and he runs out there toward us, but he's looking around, he doesn't see us, and he walks out there about 30 yards from us, and he's looking all around trying to figure out where that fight is, man. And he walks up there and he starts scraping the ground, and he leans up and starts rubbing his eyes on these branches and all that, and he starts just making his sign, you know, and like, this is my territory, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're just sitting there watching the show. Well, he finally decides the fight's over and the deer are gone, you know, so he starts just meandering off, and we waited till he just kind of went out of sight, and then I started rattling again. Boy, here he came
back after. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just played with him for a while, but it's real fun just kind of watching nature in action, you know.
It really is, man. I'm glad I'm behind something. Blaine one time rattled up. We were kind of on this in this low spot and behind a barbed wire fence with some heavy brush on it where we kind of hide behind it. And he went to beating the ground with them horns and rattling them up and everything. And this deer, he come down this hill. It was a young 6-point, and he come in wide open. And if we hadn't been behind that fence and that brush, he would have run completely over us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He come in there all bristled up and walking sideways. And I said, boy, I wish that was a good one. He'd be, I mean, I could almost reach out and touch this deer. And that's how close he got. He was looking for the fight.
Well, buddy of mine did the same thing. He was kneeling down on the edge of the Sendera and rattling, and heard the brush breaking to his left, and just happened to turn his head in time to see this buck. And it was about a 6 or an 8-point, a young one, but he had his head down charging him.
Oh, boy.
And he just literally, he was on his knees, and he just jumped into the Sendera, and this buck came by him with his head down, and one of the tines hooked one of his belt loops and ripped his belt loop out.
Wow.
That's how close it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they come into fight, boy. They come into fight.
Yeah, when they're it's rutting season, you need one guy rattling the other one with a gun and ready to rock and roll.
That's right.
They come in there, they got one thing on their mind.
That's right. I tell these customers, I go, look, you better look at him, and if you want him, you better take him, you know, because he's here to fight. I guarantee you. They come in with that hair stand up on the back of their necks and snot blowing out of their nostrils.
Oh, yeah, they come in drooling and everything. They're ready to rock.
Oh, yeah. Man, they're mad.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've always done better on the ground rattling, you know, on the ground itself. You know, you try to do it from a stand, and it just doesn't sound the same to them. You'll get some young deer come kind of look around and see what's going on. But you get on the ground where it's more natural and it sounds right, and, buddy, they will come a-running.
It makes a big difference. It really does.
There's a buck within 500 yards of you, he's coming to that sound. If he can hear it, he's coming to it.
Yeah, it's a total different sound. It really is. Yeah, it's a big difference. But it's something. You just live for this time of the year get out there amongst them and see the Mother Nature in action, boy.
Nothing like nature, maybe. Get down in there.
You better.
South Texas is a rough country.
And, you know, I just I was talking to the ranch manager at the ranch, and he and I feel the same way. We've been hunting all our lives. And I said, you know, I could care less personally about killing the big buck. I just enjoy watching them and putting a hunter on a good deer, you know, like that.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing is watching deer. I love sitting in the stand and just kicking back and, man, got those binoculars going. It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what it's all about. And that's what it's about. You know, we've lived our lives and seen a lot of deer in our lives, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
But
you probably a lot more than me.
Well, I don't know about that, but we've seen some good ones in our day.
Oh, I mean.
But we've seen some good ones, I'll guarantee you that. You still remember the good ones.
That six-pointer I popped last year, that was just that's being at the right place at the right time, just pure luck. Nobody had ever seen that deer. I don't know where he came from. You know, the stand I was hunting in is it's frequented a lot by Blaine's hunters. I mean, there's been a lot of good deer killed out of that stand. It's a perfect rut pasture set up with, you know, six or eight Senderos, one leading from another ranch and coming from a couple other ranches of Blaine's, and just, you know, it's kind of like a freeway through there during rut season. But there was some older cull bucks there that needed to be shot, and that's why I went there. We were going to, you know, take a couple of cull bucks out of there and that needed to be shot. And, you know, all these, you know, the bucks were, when I killed that deer, it was December the 1st. And it was the first cold morning of the year. I mean, it was cold. It was like 28. And that's cold for South Texas, especially in early December.
Oh, yeah.
And it was crisp, powder blue, dead calm. It was just a perfect hunting morning. And we're watching all these young bucks on a feeder down to our right, and there's some does on a sendero way back to the left. And we're watching all that. Terry was hunting with me, a good friend of ours, and we're sitting in that stand, and we're talking and all that, being real quiet. And I look down the left, and this big-bodied deer just walked out of the brush and started eating corn with those does. And it was still real dark. You know, it was light enough to see him with the naked eye. But I put the binoculars on him, and, man, I saw these big beams. I said, man, that's a good deer down there. And Terry got to looking at it. He said, oh, my God, it's a big. He was looking at it when it raised its head up, and he said, it's the biggest six-point I've ever seen in my life. And he looks old. So it turns out it was about a six-year-old deer, and it was a six-point. And he said, if you don't put that gun out the window and shoot it right now, I said, he said, I'm going to. I'm going to grab your gun. I said, well, let's shoot. And, you know, we had no idea he was going to be that big when we got down there to him. There was no ground shrinkage. When you walk up on it, it just kept getting bigger.
No.
I just couldn't believe, you know, I'm going, where in the world has this deer been hiding all these years? You know, what was he last year? You just don't know.
What did he score? What did he score, Mickey?
134.
Oh, my goodness.
For a six.
That's a monster six.
Yeah, with minimum brow tines. He only had 7.5 inches of brow tines.
Oh, my goodness.
He had huge G2s and almost 27-inch main beams and good mass. Man, I mean, you throw some G3s and 4s on there, and you got a book deer.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Crazy. I was guiding on a ranch in Encinal, and I took this young boy out, and they told me, they said, just let him shoot a cull or something. I said, okay. So we're sitting in a stand, and this buck comes running out of the brush chasing a doe, and I said, oh, my goodness. I said, shoot this deer. This is a cull. And the kid said, really? I said, yep, shoot him. He's a big, big body deer. And he shoots this deer. It's a 4-point. And so anyway, we're riding back to the ranch. We had walkie-talkies. And the ranch foreman calls me, and he said, did the boy get a spike or a cull buck or something? I said, yeah, he killed a 4-point. And it was just dead silence on the phone. And he said, a mature 4-point? I said, well, I'll let you be the judge. See what you think. And we got back to the ranch house, and that foreman's mouth fell wide open. Now, nobody had ever seen this buck. Never seen him. We scored him. He scored 101.
Wow.
A four point. Yeah. He's a big old mature buck. And he didn't have a broken tine or anything. He was a straight 4-point.
Yeah, just a slick four. Like my deer was a slick six, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you wonder where these deer hide, you know.
I know. I mean, nobody had ever seen this deer, and not on game cams. I mean, nothing. And
yeah, same with this one. Yeah.
He messed up and came out of the brush that morning. He got seen. He'll never be heard from again.
Yeah, that's right. except when people come to your house, see him on the wall.
Yeah, and I did. I put him on the wall. It made a beautiful mount. People just,
oh, I bet.
You know, my buddies will come over, and they're all deer hunters and everything, and they said, I said, would you have shot that deer? They said, there's not a doubt in my mind.
That's right.
It's just something different. You know, it's one
that's
in
right.
million or one in 10 million or whatever. You see something like that.
I've got one deer hanging on my wall here that one of the customers took down there on the ranch, and he was I've got a reproduction of him. And this deer was the third largest Boone and Crockett buck killed in 2012. And I saw that deer 3 years in a row. I know I showed you the picture of him, but I saw that deer 3 years in a row, but we never could get a shot at him. And I had this one hunter on the ranch. He was a good trophy hunter. He killed a lot of good trophies. And I was going back to the ranch house one day, going down the pipeline in the suburban, and I'm driving along about 10 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, I looked up on this hill. It was probably 600 or 700 yards away. And I could see this buck from that far away. I could see his horns. I mean,
wow.
He had his head down, trailing a doe on top of that hill. That's how big his horns are.
My goodness. And
I slammed on the brakes, and I said, oh, my goodness. I said, get out. And this guy got out and was running down the edge of the Sendero, trying to get close enough to get a shot at that deer. And the buck never saw him, and just was working that doe scent, and he was going down that Sendero, trailing another doe. And anyway, he didn't get a shot at him. Well, we put another customer up in a tripod up on top of that hill, and we had a protein feeder on top of that hill. We didn't have a corn feeder, And we put this customer up there and one day and told him, said, man, there's a monster buck coming to this protein feeder. And you may see him, you may not. Well, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, this guy's sitting up there texting on his cell phone, looked up, and that buck walked out of that brush, walking to that protein feeder. And he said, oh, my God, this has got to be the deer they're talking about. Well, he missed him on the first shot. He missed him. Well, you know he was shaking. And this deer ran over to the edge of the Sendera and stopped and looked back. And then he got him on the second shot.
That deer should have never stopped and looked back.
Nope.
Big mistake.
Well, nobody had ever shot at that stand. He'd never heard a shot over there, you know. And this deer had a kicker on each of his G3s. Well, he's a typical. And he had that kicker on each of his G3, which they deduct in Boone and Crockett.
Right.
They deduct those kickers. Well, if he hadn't had those two kickers, he'd have been number one in the state.
My goodness.
Yep, number one in the state. And even though he had those deductions between him and number one, there was less than 3 inches difference.
That is, man, that is incredible.
Oh, he's massive, you know. And the ranch manager took him to a trophy hunter show right after that and just blew everybody away. I mean, he just carries his mass all the way out. And he's about 28 or 29 inches wide and just carries that mass all the way out.
I'd have a heart attack.
Oh, I would too. You know, I mean, like I say, I saw him 3 years in a row, but we never could get a shot at him, you know. And when I saw him, it just literally took your breath away, you know.
There wasn't no ground shrinkage with that buck, I can guarantee you that.
Oh, this was a low fence ranch too.
I'm telling you.
Low.
That makes it even better. I mean, that's
oh, absolutely.
Legit.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And the guy that killed him, you know, he hunts low fence and high fence ranches. Well, about 2 weeks later, he went to a high fence ranch and killed a 200 class deer. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, I didn't even get excited killing that 200 class plus deer. He said,
it's not the same, deer, is it?
It's not the same. He said, this deer here, he said, this is the real deal. He said,
yes.
This was awesome. He said, this was awesome. Because I guarantee you, when he missed that first shot, you know he was shaking.
Oh,
you
I
know
promise
he was.
You.
Oh,
buck fever.
Goodness.
They don't call it buck fever for nothing, and it happens. I mean, it happens to the best of them.
I had a hunter with me that got it.
Especially on something monstrous like that.
I had a hunter with me that got it one day. I had a real big deer that came out and wouldn't come close enough for him to shoot. And I told him, I said, tomorrow we'll get him. And I corned about halfway down this Sendera. I said, that buck, I'll get the does on that corn tomorrow, and we'll get him on those does. Next day, it was like clockwork. All these does were on this corn, and boy, that buck was down at a feeder about 300 yards away. And sure enough, boy, here he came. And he was trotting down that Sendera with his head down, coming toward those does. And I said, all right, now get ready. Get your gun out. So he got his gun out the window. And I said, you see a little hump in the Sendera? I said, that's about 125 yards. When he gets that hump, you pop him right there. He said, all right. So, boy, that doe ran in the brush. That buck ran up to that hump, stopped, and turned sideways. And I said, shoot him. Shoot him right there. Shoot. And that buck stood there probably a good 8 to 10 seconds. And he didn't shoot, and the buck ran in the brush after the doe. And he pulled his rifle in. I said, why didn't you shoot him? He said, well, I had him twice. I could have shot twice, but I don't know. Now, this guy was from Florida. Now, he was used to seeing those little deer in Florida, you know. And he'd never seen a deer that big. Never seen one that big. And so that afternoon,
that'll do it.
That afternoon I was at the ranch house and I was helping a guy skin a deer and this trophy hunter that there at the ranch came out there and he said, hey, that deer that old boy froze on, was that a good one? I said, oh yeah. Yeah, he's a good one. He said, you think you'll score good? I said, he sure will. Got good long main beams, and I didn't get a chance to count his points, but he's a good one. And he said, well, I want to kill him. He said, I'm in a deer contest in Tyler, and they have a category for, you know, low fence, South Texas. And he said,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.